So I'm in Cowes in the Isle of Wight with Hannah King. And Hannah is married to my cousin Simon and has been for quite a long time.
Yes, 22 years.
So the first question is, do you drink tea?
No, never. Can't stand it. Don't understand it at all.
Have you ever drunk tea?
I think I tried it once or twice, and someone's given me tea in the past, which I've politely drunk, but I didn't enjoy it.
So what was the most excruciating cup of tea that you've had to drink then?
Probably one when I was out in Kosovo, and they gave me something that they called tea, and I don't believe it was anything like English tea, but it wasn't a pleasant experience.
Right. Yes. So, because you can't have a favourite sort of tea in that situation.
No, black coffee is my favourite sort of tea.
I have a friend who, Elizabeth Harper, when I asked her that question, she'd been in Africa and she'd had to drink some sort of African tea because turning it down would have just been the most offensive thing she could have done. So she drank it even though she hates it.
Yes.
When did we first meet?
Well, I was just trying to work this out. I know you were at my wedding, but I'm wondering if we met beforehand at a family gathering of some sort, but I have no memory of that. So the wedding is probably the first time I remember this meeting.
I'm trying to rack my brains about it, but
It's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago.
It is.
So the big question that everyone's getting is, how do you respond to the statement Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
I think, I had quite a debate about this with Simon yesterday. I think it probably is sleeping, but it's difficult, isn't it? I think from my perspective, the church that I attend, which you came and visited with us this morning, there's a very little sleeping going on there. So when you say the word church, I'm thinking of my church. Mm. But then what is church? Is church a building? Is it the service?
The question is about Christianity. It's not about the church.
So Christianity, I would say, is very much still happening. I think with my food bank hat on, all the food banks that I come under the network of Trussell Trust food banks, there's over 400 food banks that are run by Christians who are actively out in their community making the work of Jesus happen. So to me, we're not sleeping. I can assure you we're not sleeping. But I always think there's so much more that could be happening. And people don't want to wake up and do things in the same way that I think they used to. I think there's too much outside influences taking us away from focusing on our faith. I think there are lots of other things that seem to happen at weekends, for instance, that take people away. Not bad things, just clubs and groups and things like that. But I don't know, when I think back to Christianity in my head when I was growing up, was very much about Sunday being a day of rest, a day you went to church, a day that you talked about your faith. And in my family, that's what we did. But I don't necessarily think that that's happening everywhere. So Christianity sleeping, I think it is sleeping, but I want to see it wake up.
This question we've been discussing a bit over lunch is, what are your top tips for encouraging teenage girls to grow in their faith?
Oh, top tip. I don't think I've got any tips. I think all I do is love them and give them time. And give them time without your mobile phone being in the room. Mm. Give them time where you give them eye contact and you listen. Don't always give advice, just listen.
Did you used to go out with the girls to places so that made it easier?
Yeah, so take them out for coffee. I mean, obviously I'm a coffee girl, so my girls are too. They don't drink tea either. So the three of us, we love going out either one-to-one or all the three of us together and just having that time just to catch up. And I think one of the questions that I always seem to ask is one that Alison taught me, our eldest daughter, who says, how's your heart? And that question is brilliant, because if you ask someone, how's your heart, you know, it's amazing what comes out. Sometimes you have to go out for another coffee to go through whatever's started in the first conversation.
Debrief from the first conversation.
Yeah, but I would say, giving time and lots of love, unconditionally.
I think for me, because our girl's a bit younger than yes. yours, it's trying to listen to wise people as well for me about
yeah.
how to encourage them.
Yeah.
But you need to actually have time to speak to them.
Yeah. Yeah, and encourage them to be who they are. And I think faith-wise, encourage them, you know, God's made them to be individuals. So they don't have to be like each other. They don't have to be like their other friends. They can just be them, and that's okay. And encourage them to flourish.
So you've already said that you're manager of the food bank in the yeah. Isle of Wight. So you've got a food bank question for your okay. specialist subject. Oh, in fact, there's two specialist subject questions here. What do you observe as the causes of people being hungry and in need of food parcels in the UK at the moment?
I will probably speak specifically about the Isle of Wight because obviously that's mm-hmm. that's my bag. I think when I started, 7 years ago, we were coming out of recession, so people were very much in debt. And in the last 4 years, I would say it's changed. And now the second biggest reason people are coming to us is low income. So I think the great thing is that people are working on the island and wanting to make ends meet. But the majority of people coming to us are those that can't pay the bills. So they're working the hours that they can, which means they don't get any benefit, help, but... at the end of the month they find that they can't pay the bills or something happens. Like if the car fails its MOT and they need a car to get to work, what are they meant to do? Do they pay for the car to get through its MOT so next month they can go to work but they have to then go out without food that month? Or do they eat, don't afford the car to get fixed and lose their job?
So how long are the food parcels that you give out supposed to last?
So we give out, they can have 3 vouchers within a 6-month period. One voucher gives you enough food for 3 days. And obviously, if crisis is longer than 3 times in 6 months, then if a conversation is had between the professional who issues the vouchers and us at the food bank, we might deem that we can help that family far more. But the general rule is 3 vouchers, so that's 9 days worth of food in 6 months. And the whole point of food bank is that we're crisis only, so we're trying to help people out of an immediate crisis situation rather than encourage them to become dependent on us, because that's not going to help them long term. So.
Mm-hmm. And what would you refer on to other agencies, or would the other professionals that you're working with refer on to other agencies?
We try and signpost. So when clients come to us, they bring a voucher in which explains the reasons why they're with us. And we retain that information on a database. So nationally, the Trussell Trust can see, you know, the picture of what's going on, as, you know, with us on the Isle of Wight. But yeah, when they come through, we try and sit them down, give them a coffee, have a chat, make them feel welcome, and then hopefully talk to them about what other agencies there are locally who can help them out of the situation mm-hmm. they're in. So if they come in with a debt problem, for instance, you know, we would say, is someone helping you with that? Can we signpost you on to, there's an agency in Cowes called Frontline. They're great with helping people with debt situations. It might be that they need to go to the law centre, you know, if they're about to lose their home or...
So. Do you have a Christians Against Poverty debt counselling
yes,
service on the
do.
Island?
Yes, yeah. So that's really helpful as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to see them.
Oh, are you?
In Bradford next week.
Okay.
So,
okay,
yes.
That'll be interesting.
It will be. Yeah. So how many food parcels did you give out on the Isle of Wight last year, roughly?
I think it was around 4,800 in the last 12 months, and that was... 4,800 people fed, so not food parcels, but actual people fed. But on top of that, we do a project called the Holiday Scheme, where we give out extra food in the 3 main holidays throughout the year, so summer, Easter, Christmas. And for instance, last summer we fed in a 6-week period an additional 781 people. So that took a huge knock on my stock levels in the warehouse, and saw us need to go to local media and try and get the public on the island to donate some more food, because we were seeing incredible shortages actually, and I was quite concerned as to how we were going to maintain throughout the autumn. The reason for the holiday scheme is that we're trying to feed people who usually have free school meals for their children, and in the holidays suddenly are having to feed the whole family at home. So if we can give them a top up of food just once a week, it helps the whole family budget, hopefully, and get through the month.
So my other cousin, Louise,
yes,
feels very strongly that we shouldn't be giving food to food banks because she thinks we're just giving profits to the retailers. She thinks we should give money to food banks who can then buy food at wholesale prices. So I wonder if you think, I don't know if that happens for you or how that would work, or whether you think there's something about the compassion of actually putting the food in.
Yeah.
Something. What would you say to Louise? Because Louise is very adamant that
I'd love to meet Louise and have a chat with Louise. I think, if I'm honest, when I've done the collections in the supermarkets locally, I can very obviously see that people like donating food because they know that tin of beans that they donate is going to end up in someone's kitchen, hopefully for someone that really needs our help. So they know that what they donate is going to make a big difference. When you give cash, you don't necessarily know where it's going to go. We have been given cash in the past that I've been able to spend on buying food, but I try not to. I try and raise the profile of food bank in all the local supermarkets so there are donation points at all the checkout or at the tills at the checkouts, so that when someone's done their shopping, they can think of their neighbour and put something in. We're very much, you know, like a community thinking of each other. And I think if I was to get funding just to buy food, people would stop putting the food in themselves. And that's kind of missing the point. I want people in our community in the Isle of Wight to think of those that could be living next door, across the road, you know, that don't have something to eat or can't feed their families. And poverty is something that people don't necessarily shout about, so you may not know the genuine need that's going on that close to home. So I think it's really important that people are given an opportunity to donate food, knowing exactly that food is going to make a difference. I think with the issue about the supermarkets, for instance, if I talk about Tesco's, if I may, all food that is donated in Tesco's on the Isle of Wight, and this is a national thing with Trussell Trust food banks, we weigh all the food that comes in. So we weigh all the food that's donated by local churches, by different supermarkets, all the food that comes in from Tesco's, we weigh it in. And then throughout the year, we submit those figures to the Trussell Trust. And there is a figure that we've been given that an average price of per kilogram of food is £1.70. Tesco's give us 20% of that figure on the amount of food that we collect from their supermarket. So throughout the year, I can have a few thousand pounds donated to us from Tesco's just because people are shopping in their shop. Mm-hmm. So yes, Tesco's might be benefiting and getting a profit because people are buying food to donate to food bank, but they're giving the money to me.
Well, that's good. That will answer Louise.
So yeah, tell Louise to give me a ring and I'll fill her in.
I will. I might bring her over next time.
Do so, yeah, absolutely.
Time I come. So that's really interesting. I wanted to ask you what is in an average family food parcel now, because I used to work with the Loaves and Fishes project, and I might tell you that story in a moment, but in Bristol. Okay. But what now do you put in a standard food parcel?
Okay, so we do four different sizes, first of all. So we do one for a single person, mm-hmm. we do a couple, we do 3 to 4 people, or 5+. So for a large family, that's a lot of food to mm-hmm. give out. The list of food items is exactly the same throughout, but obviously with four different sizes of food parcels, we just increase the amount of food that we give. So we start off with cereal, tea, coffee, long life milk, and then you move on to tinned veg, tinned meat, tinned fish, pasta sauce, rice, and then we do puddings such as rice pudding, tinned sponge pudding, tinned fruit and custard. And then if we can, we like to give out pet food if they need it. We give out toiletries, toilet rolls. It's nice to give out extras, so if people donate food that isn't out of those staple items, we still give it out. So if you hand in a box of Maltesers, like one guy picked the Maltesers out of the box and said, oh, I'd like these, and I said, well, you know, I'm glad you've gone for the chocolate, and he said, well, baked beans fill me up, but Maltesers make me happy. And I got it. I thought, absolutely, when you've got nothing and we're giving you the staple food so you can eat for the next 3 days, but what would you like to choose and fill a bag, you know, fill a bag yourself with some extra items. He chose chocolate.
So when I was working, volunteering at the Sisters of the Church, the Sisters of the Community of the Church in St Paul's in Bristol, we used to have food for people who had cooking facilities and food for people who don't have cooking facilities. Do you take that into account when you're giving out food?
So when someone arrives in our food bank cafe with their voucher, they're always shown the list of food that we're hoping to give them, because there's no point in my book giving them food that they don't want or they can't eat. So we'll show them that list that I've just listed with you and say to them, you know, is there anything on that list you don't like or you don't want? And then when we flip it over on the other side of the list, there are questions to ask, such as age of children. So if little Freddie is 5, he's going to love Thomas the Tank Engine spaghetti. But if your son, Freddie, is 15, he might not want Thomas the Tank Engine spaghetti. So asking the ages of the children is quite important. Then we ask about cooking facilities. So like you say, if they haven't got a hob, there is no point giving them pasta. They're not going to be able to cook it. So then we think about pot noodles, pot shots. You know, when you, if you've got a kettle, can you just add hot water to something? If they're going to eat soup cold, because, you know, we do have some homeless people on the island that haven't got any facility to heat up food at all. Then we think about what sort of soup would you like to eat cold? I wouldn't choose to myself, but, you know, would you choose chicken noodle that's like jelly? Or would you choose tomato and herb? You know, I'd always go for the tomato and herb if I had to eat it cold. So, yeah, very much we're in a situation where we try and gauge every food parcel. We pick it specifically for that individual.
So the funny story, because we the food used to be kept in the cellar at the sisters, and you would be taking the food parcels up the stairs. And when I was pregnant with Iona, they stopped me doing the stairs. They said, you have to do teas and coffees. So I was quite enormous with Iona, and I was kind of wearing some sort of denim kind of maternity dress thing. And then I was doing the kind of handing out teas and 5 sugars, and if they have leftover buns, you know, that sort of thing. Sometimes bakers would donate. And so I was dealing with the whole rush at the window of handing out teas and coffees and whatever, if we have buns or whatever. And then I saw this guy come up, and I gave him a cup of tea and the rest of it. And once the rush had died down, he came up to me and said, so this is a convent. And I'm like, yes. And I'm still in the kind of, do you want tea with 6 sugars sort of thing in my head? Yes, it's a convent. And he said, and nuns live here. And I'm like, yes, nuns live here. And then he just looked at me and went, but you're... And I had to say, now, I'm not a nun. I'm not a nun. I'm enormous with child. He'd obviously gone away and really puzzled over this fact that this enormously pregnant nun was giving in to you. But we had things. So Ian used to come sometimes to stand in the yard there. And we, on one occasion, someone had given out a no-cooking food parcel to this family. And someone came and said, can you open this tin of rice pudding? Because my 10-year-old hasn't eaten for 24 hours. And whatever the rights, wrongs or ins and outs of what had happened there, there was a hungry child who had something to eat. So, yeah, so our non-cook food parcels used to be, I think probably tuna tomato soup, tuna, rice pudding, tinned peaches, tin of spaghetti, and a tin of baked beans.
All of which are in our parcel with more.
And possibly some powdered milk and a tube of Weetabix. And that's what, but I mean, that's nearly 20 years ago now. And they've actually changed the way they do the food parcels there now. I've not been for a while, but yeah, that was in the good old days of Sunday afternoons, all everybody crowding into the yard, wondering why the nuns are pregnant.
I love that.
So the last question is, what's your favourite thing beginning with tea?
It's not tea.
Not tea.
I would say it's time. Because used wisely, it's the best gift, isn't it? And I think the problem I have is that I don't always use my time wisely. But it is a gift, and I need to work on that.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for speaking to me, Hannah.
You're welcome. Thanks, Janet.
And it's lovely to be here, and I will come back, especially if you can guarantee it's going to be sunny.
It's always sunny on the Isle of Wight.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.